I love it.
Now, as you return to your seats, can we all give God a hand clap this morning? Hallelujah. So, for your information, this was not my idea. I had a beautiful conversation with a beautiful couple from our church. And they said, Pastor, we love when we get to say hi to people we've never said hi to. And we love that all the church would do that. And I said, next time I open the service, we're going to do that. Because this is what it's all about, guys. To love God and love God's people. To love God and love God's people. And love people back to life. My beautiful wife, we pray for this service.
Gracias, Dios.
Thank you, God.
Por la nueva oportunidad que nos abre, Señor, en esta mañana.
For the new opportunity that you opened before our eyes this morning.
De poder recibir tu presencia.
To be able to receive your presence.
Y saborearla, Señor, todos juntos en esta mañana.
And to taste your goodness this morning.
Porque sabemos que estás aquí, Señor.
Because we know that you're here,
en medio
Lord.
De nosotros.
In the midst of us.
Con un deseo grande, Señor, de bendecirnos.
With a great desire to bless
y de fortalecernos.
Us. To strengthen us.
Que puedas encontrar en Faro de Luz en Ohio.
That you can find at the lighthouse in Ohio.
Adoradores que te adoren en espíritu y en
worshipers that will worship you in spirit and truth.
Porque eso es lo que tú andas buscando.
Because that's what you're seeking.
Que podamos, Señor, usar todas nuestras emociones.
That we can use our emotions.
Todo nuestro ser.
Our being.
Y hacer un grito de júbilo.
And make a shout
por
of praise.
Por saber, Señor, que tu amor sigue con nosotros.
Knowing that your love is still with us.
Y que tú seguirás con nosotros, Dios,
and that you will always be with us every day and every day
y
in this world.
No nos vas a dejar,
and that you will never leave us and nor forsake us.
Así, Señor, hacemos, Dios, una alabanza y una adoración. De todo corazón en
that's
esta mañana.
How we praise you and worship
recibe
you from our hearts
Señor, con todo nuestro ser,
and
y
to
con
praise
toda
you
nuestra fuerza,
with all of our being and strength
y con todo nuestro corazón.
And with our hearts
a ti la gloria,
the
a
glory
la honra,
is yours
a ti la alabanza,
the honor is yours
Santo de Israel,
the praise is
en el
yours
nombre de Jesús,
the Holy
amen,
One of Israel
amen.
Amen and amen. And as the worship team gets ready to start rocking, hallelujah, let's get ready to give. So this morning, if you brought an offering for the work of the Lord, you know, first of all, God doesn't need your money, okay? Let's make that clear. God does not need your money. He is rich. He's got all the resources of the earth. Now, his work needs it, need your money. So if you're faithful giving, this is your opportunity. There are three ways to give here in our church: cash, check, or via Venmo. So this is our time to praise and give. Let's get ready. Let's bring God's presence into the house. Amen.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise in the valley, praise on the mountain, praise when I'm sure.
Praise the Lord.
'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. Praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Come on, my soul. Oh.
though she did shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those drums. So get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song.
Come on.
Cause you've got a lion inside of those drums. Get up and praise the Lord.
Come on.
Come on, my soul.
Yes.
Oh, don't
feel
you
it.
Get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of the lungs. So get up and praise the Lord. So I'm full of
you give life, you will love. Bible says that he breathed life. He breathed life. So if his breath is the one that's in our lungs, what are we doing this morning? We are breathing life. We are speaking life. We are speaking truth. We are speaking the word of God. You don't even have to, in your mind or to yourself, sit there and think of all the things maybe that you're struggling with or that you see going on around. You don't have to. You're breathing life. You're speaking life into every situation. This morning it's beautiful because I seen the same praise with or without us up here. But I still received life this morning. I don't know if you quite understand the blessing that I had from you today. Because I got to feel his breath coming through your lungs this morning. And you spoke life into me today too. I thank God that he breathes upon us. He breathes life into us. I thank God that it is him. It's through him that all things are made possible. I thank God that because of him, people are still have a chance to get to know him in America today, in every nation. I thank God that it's because of what he did for us that day on the cross and he rose from the grave. I thank God right now that I know that there's someone out there for me to get a hold of to share the gospel with. If you still have breath in your lungs, then you have life inside of you. And the life inside of you is not meant to sit in your body just for you. No. See, you've already got saved. Jesus is inside of you. He dwells among you. So this morning, when you leave this place today, start opening up and letting the life come out of you. And you're going to start seeing the crowd behind you getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Jesus just went somewhere and preached, and thousands came. I'm not saying we're Jesus, but if he's in us, then why is it so different? We don't have to go advertise for everything. No, just go be like Jesus. Hallelujah.
Their crowns before the Lamb of God. Softly, I want to stay right here. We're not going to move from this moment. But as we were worshiping, this thought came to me, and I just want to share it with you. Sometimes I just feel impressed by the Holy Spirit to share things with you when we're in the midst of a worship service and we're praising God and we're saying things. And I don't mean to insult your intelligence this morning, but as your pastor, I want you to know what you're saying. And the theme this morning has just been praise. It's been praise. And in the scripture, there's a lot of what's called imagery when it comes to talking about praise. And God has used things to liken praise unto natural things so that to help us understand what praise is like and what praise does. And at one point, we were talking about this lion that's inside of us. And I don't want anybody to be mistaken that you think, oh man, I got this lion, hear me roar. No, that's alluding to imagery that's in scripture. So what is the song saying? Well, Jesus is referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. What does Judah mean? Praise. So when you say, I got this lion inside of me, and I'm going to let it come out, come on, my soul. Let's let this come out. You're saying that because Jesus Christ lives inside of you, there is a praise in you that's got to come out. And don't let my soul get shy on me and hold that back, because Jesus is in there and I need to let him out and let this praise come out. See, I don't want you to miss what we're saying this morning, what we're singing this morning. Why do you get so wound up? Oh, it's because they do a build up with the music and then the vocals get loud. No, it's the message, church. There is the Lion of the tribe of Judah inside of you. And when you start remembering that, there's a roar of praise that comes forth. And just like in the wild for miles, the roar of a lion will travel and miles and miles across the desert. Another lion will hear that roar, and there's something that wells up inside of that lion because they heard that other lion's roar, and now they roar back. And as we begin to praise God, somebody gets a hold of God enough in here and lets their praise come out, and somebody else goes, oh yeah, I hear that, I got that in me too. And the next person said, oh, I feel that. I know that praise. I have him inside of me too. It's not talking about you being a lion. It's talking about who's inside of you. And how he is your praise. He is your glory. He has anointed us. Now, then check this out. Then we started talking about pour out our praise. So first we talked about a roar of praise. Well, first we just talking about prayer. Praise the Lord, right? Pour out. What does that mean? Pour out our praise. Well, this imagery of a flow of oil or a flow of wine being poured out as an offering. Or do you remember the lady who anointed the head and the feet of Jesus and washed his feet with her hair and her tears? She poured out her praise on him. Revelation even tells us that our tears are caught in vials and they're poured out before the throne of God. That's what we're talking about when we pour out our praise. That which is in the depths of our souls, we pour out unto him and give him praise and glory for it. And we talked about incense burning. This isn't just so we can make the house smell good. But there was an altar of incense in the temple and in the tabernacle that set right before the holiest of holies, the most holy place. And they would burn incense on the golden altar to offer up praise unto God. And it signified that before I can go into the most holy, intimate place with God, I initiate that by offering a sweet-smelling savor of praise. In the New Testament, the Bible talks about our praise being as a sweet-smelling savor unto God. What we're saying and doing this morning is all offering things up to our Heavenly Father to give Him praise. So then we sing, I will bless the Lord. Why? Because He's blessed us. He's done great things. And what you couldn't do yourself, you tried and tried and tried over and over again, God did for you. So there's a praise inside of you now because what he did for you. Think about how many of you, just think about this to yourself, how many of you wouldn't be here this morning if it wasn't for him? Come on. And I don't just mean in this church. I mean walking and living and breathing. If it had not been the Lord on your side, even when you were in the depths of your sin and degradation and disgrace, somebody came by and looked at you and said, live. Because of that, you got a praise inside of you. He's done great things. He's done great things. He's done great things. And he deserves the praise. Now, I want to sing this again before we move on, but I got to say this to you then. So why is this so important? Well, there are keys of the kingdom. Jesus refers to this. And one of those things that is a key or a sign of authority in the believer's life is our praise. It's our praise. And as we begin to release praise, it unlocks things in our heart unto God. Now, listen, I'm not all about all this stuff where I can praise the devil. Look, in the name of Jesus, right? That's simple. If you sing in the name of Jesus, if you say in the name of Jesus, if you write in the name, and look, it's just the name of Jesus, right? But what you have to get is your praise does something to you on the inside of you, connecting yourself to God. And that's what it begins to unlock. It's a reminder of how good God's been to you. And so if you are in your worst day, you're frustrated, you're going through things, if you just begin to praise God, you're taking that key and unlocking some things in your life so that you can make sure you're reestablishing and reconnecting and rekindling your relationship with God so that you can be where you're supposed to be. Your praise doesn't move God. Your praise moves you. God doesn't need to change. We do. And that means every one of us. So what we've been doing in here, although some of you may have thought, okay, this is what we do. No. We have been unlocking things in our life to reconnect ourselves to God this morning. And we come and do, isn't it wonderful that God lets us do that together? Yeah, you can do it by yourself, and hopefully you do Monday, Tuesday, come back on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Do all those things that you do in your private time. But today we get to do it together. Today's the Lord's Day. And we get to praise God together. And I just wanted you to know what you were doing this morning. And I think the Holy Spirit wanted you to know too. You ain't just singing a song. Look, we can go to a concert for that. This isn't just social hour. We can go anywhere for that. I mean, you can go to Walmart for social hour. No. We have gathered for the express purpose to come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to lift Him up. And as we do that, there's a promise that in our praise, as we do that, He sits upon us because we create a throne for Him to come rest on. And the Bible says it like this: He inhabits the praises or the halal of His people. He inhabits it. He sits and rests on it. So let's just, before we move on, I know Brother Wages is going to come preach this morning, all that. But let's not miss what's going on here. Let's not just sing songs out of habit. Let's recognize what we're doing unto our Heavenly Father. And let's be grateful that He's here. How many of you have felt a presence, sensed something in here? That's God. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, is here with us right now. He's still here. How amazing is that? Can we just, for a few more moments here, give Him some more praise through song? Can we do that? And if you have to, just let your lips go. You don't got to sing the lyrics to this song. You can tell God what you want to tell Him with your own words. If you got to move, get up and move. If you got to dance, get up. Let God see your expression of praise this morning. It's a slow song. So what? Pentecostals can run on a slow song too. Right? Let's just, come on, sing it, worship it. Let's just praise Him a little bit more. I will bless. He's done great things. I will bless Him. He's done great things. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He has done great things. Blessed is the Lord.
praise you, Lord.
Oh, he we praise you, Lord.
We praise you, Lord. Jesus. We worship you, Lord.
He still
hallelujah,
does
hallelujah,
great
hallelujah.
He still does great things. Bless his holy.
Bless his holy.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
Oh, my soul.
And all
that's within me.
Bless his holy name.
Just the congregation sing it. And I will bless the Lord.
Oh my soul. And all that is within.
Now, as you lift your hands just with your own words, tell him how much you love him. Tell Jesus how much you love him. Tell him how grateful you are for the sacrifice that he made for your life. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. I love you, Lord Jesus. I'm so grateful for what you have done for me. How you set me free, how you changed me, you transformed my life. How you do every day, you transform my life. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you wish to be. You can continue to praise him, though, even from a seated position. You know, the Bible says when the fullness of the festival of Pentecost had come, they were one place and one mind, but it says they were seated. I think sometimes if you grew up like I did, you thought that they were running around being all crazy. They had the piano going and the bass and the drums, and they were waiting for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. No, they were seated. They were seated. And then after the Holy Ghost was poured out, and they had split fire on top of their heads, then they started having themselves a good time. Amen. But we can worship God and praise God from a seated position. And how many are thankful that it really is all about our heart? Amen. It's about our heart and where our heart's at. And is our heart worshiping God? Honestly, are we being honest and sincere and worshiping God, honest and in the spirit? Amen. And that's what God wants to do this morning in our lives and is doing in our lives, and I'm so thankful for that. I want to say real quickly here that I'm just grateful for this church and everything that this church does. This has been a power-packed weekend. Starting Friday night, we had our Lighthouse Teen Ministries Bible study going on. Started at 6, and then at 7, we had women's mentoring moments taking place, and all while those two things were going on and people were being ministered to, we had people preparing for our women's conference, and then we rolled in Saturday morning, had our women's conference, had a wonderful time in the Lord. God just did some amazing things, not only in our main sessions, but even in our breakout sessions. God did some healing in people's hearts and lives. It's just a wonderful time in the Lord. And then we're here this morning, worshiping God, praising God, and we have a 3 o'clock service today too, Espanol. Sí, yes, gloria a Dios, alaba a Dios, right? And so we're doing a lot of stuff, and that's great. But what I'm so appreciative of this church is that we're making sure we're keeping the main thing the main thing. We come together. It's all about Jesus. It's all about worshiping Him and glorifying Him and serving Him and loving on Him. And sometimes, you know, we get busy weekends like this and we do a lot of stuff and a lot of ministry. We can just begin to make it about ministry. And as your pastor, I want to remind you, let's not ever do that. Let's not ever make it about us and our serving and all that. No. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. It's about Jesus Christ. We're serving Him, and we want to see people's lives transformed and changed. I recently read something. I don't know why I'm going here. I just feel like I need to. And it was kind of judgmental in the church. It was saying, you know, there's a specific people group that they say they welcome into the church, but when they come to the church, that they expect them to change. And I kind of just stepped back and just read that and thought about it and let it rest in my mind. And I thought to myself, well, it's not just them. I expect every one of us to change when we come to church. I was like, and that's, isn't it funny? That's the narrative that people and the devil try to trick us and, oh yeah, we should be more accommodating. And no, man, when I come this place, I expect to be changed. I got some issues. You got some issues? I got some things God needs to work out and do in me. So don't let people gaslight you or whatever the term is nowadays, push you into this or that. And the other. Well, you're judging me. No, I ain't judging you. I expect you to change because I expect to change when I come into the presence of the Lord. How can I be the same? I have just been in the presence of God Himself. Amen? And that's what God's doing in us. Don't let people do that kind of stuff to you. But anyway, I wanted to give you a testimony this morning before we change the order of the service. I don't always give you these updates because I don't always get them, first of all. And this week, I just got three updates. And some of you may know this, some of you may not know this, but we do ministry in Pakistan. Pakistan is the second largest Muslim nation. Well, let me just say this. They claim to be the second largest Muslim nation in the world. But I got some news for you. People getting saved over there. And they're not Muslims anymore. They're not. And so, as many of you know, we do what's called Zoom Crusades. And pray for me because I have been and had reached out to the guy who sets these up. Actually, this week he let me know that they had a great actual physical crusade. Listen to this. They can only do one night crusades in Pakistan. One night only. Now, typically, if you set a crusade up somewhere else in the world, you do several nights in a row and it builds, right? Well, this is how our sovereign God works. And just the sacred time we are in. They do one night and one night only, and they somehow get the word out to people. I don't even know how. And they offer transportation, and they bust them out to a remote location so that it can be safer for them. Now, Brother John Javed, you remember him? He came on a Sunday night, ministered here. He messaged me this week and told me that the last crusade they had, hundreds of thousands of people showed up, and he said that they packed the field where they had designated where they're going to have this just for one night, and get this, and the people kept coming, so the buses kept bringing them. There was no room for them anymore, so people just stayed on the buses, and the buses were packed. While they were having so they just kind of opened the doors, let the people sit on the buses. They packed out the place, and hundreds of thousands of people came and received Jesus, and miracles took place in their life. I mean, God's moving. And so another thing that we do, and I haven't got to go yet, and he was asking me, when are you coming, Pastor? And so you pray with me about that because I want God's timing on that. But I believe that I'm supposed to go there and be part of those meetings with them at some point, but I want God's leading on that. But we do what's called remote village crusades via Zoom. Brother Wages, when you was back, kid, Pentecost, could you ever imagine that we could minister across the ocean on a computer? It's just, it still dumbfounds me. And in my flesh, I sit there at my desk staring at this screen, and I see these people, and you know what? I hear whispering, they ain't hearing anything you got to say. Oh, this is going, what do you think you're doing here? This is a waste of your time. Well, I'm about ready to stomp on the devil's head. You want to do it with me? Because I got the reports from January, February, and March. Just 3 months of doing these, one crusade each. In January, they said that 113 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. When we did that, 98 people received healings and miracles in that thing, in that meeting, and they sent me pictures. I got to scroll past the pictures. You don't want to see my ugly mug. February, we did it again, and we usually do this at the beginning of the month, and the report came back that 198 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. And 109 of them were healed. God did a work in their life and healed them. And then in March, I got the report back. We just did this just this past week. So this one came back pretty fast. 186 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. And 113 of them received a healing. Every time we do that, we send 300 Bibles in their language. Urdu, I think, or something like that's their language they speak. I can't remember exactly, but we send the Bible in their language, and we pass out those Bibles. We try to send about 300 Bibles every time. We send $300. That's what it is, $300. Oh, it's 100 Bibles. Excuse me. Okay. I'm not good at math. So we send 100 Bibles. We're getting the scripture out to them. God is moving and doing great things. Amen. And that's why I say they claim to be the second largest Muslim nation. But God's doing a work in there. Now, American church, if God can move in the midst of Pakistan, we can see those of you who are in the service when Pastor John and Pastor Rachel were here. We can see people being rescued from brick kilns, whole families pulled out, set free, and people are being healed and delivered and saved and set free in Pakistan. God is still doing it here too. He's still doing it here too. He's still doing it here too. Come on. Think about it. This is considered a Christian nation. It's faith, church. It's faith in Jesus Christ. We believe in him. He does the work, right? And we just need to continue to walk in that faith. Amen. So we thank you for your support for that. If you didn't know anything about that, you can reach out to us. We can tell you more about it. But I just got those reports this week, and I wanted to share them with you. I think it's great to hear what God is doing. At this time, we're going to dismiss our students to go to their classes. We have our teen class this morning. Hopefully, you remembered your binders if you brought them with you. Teens, don't forget to bring your binders on Sunday morning. And we have our firehouse kids this morning. I believe that's ages 6 and up. And there's a preschool for your preschool age and a nursery class also. So we want to let them go back there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many of you just have been enjoying the presence of God this morning? Everything as he's been doing. Can we just lift our hands one more time as we prepare to transition and let God do what he wants to do? We want to give you praise, God. We give you glory. We give you honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, as always, it's our honor and privilege to have Brother and Sister Wagers with us this weekend. We count them good friends and mentors, people who speak into our life. And We're going to turn the service over to Brother Wagers. You can just do what you feel the Lord leading, brother. If you need to, if you want to sing, you're more than welcome. We all love to hear you sing. But come in. Come on.
Hallelujah. That wasn't very good. Let's try it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I listened to everything the pastor said. And he couldn't have said anything that would have led into what I want to say today. It talks about us worshiping the Lord. And we Pentecostals, sometimes we say it this way, that we came into the presence of the Lord, or the presence of the Lord just came upon us. Recently, I've been meditating. I can't get this out of my mind and out of my heart. In fact, I'll read it before I begin to preach. But Paul said to the Corinthian church, "Thanks be unto God for his," the King James says, "his unspeakable gift." I wondered, I've read that so many times through the years, and I love that verse, but I wonder how many times we come into the house of the Lord and the worship of the Lord is going on as it was today, and do we focus on what Paul said to the Corinthian church? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Does that immediately make us think of John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he, say it, gave. What was the gift of God? It's Jesus. I said, it's Jesus. And it's incredible to me that whether it's in a worship service like this, or it's in those times when we get alone and we get on our face before God and we're worshiping and we're praying, it's incredible to me. Don't you ever forget what I'm saying right now. The most incredible thing about our God is that he sent Jesus. And the most incredible thing about Jesus, the Father sent him and Jesus came. He came right here. Why did he come here? My Lord, we needed him so bad. We had lost everything. We had lost all hope. When Adam and Eve sinned, we had no way of getting back into the presence of the Lord. Are you listening to me? God cast man out into Eden, and I'll never forget what old brother Clendenin, who was an old-time Pentecostal, he has affected my life through the years so much. He's gone now. He's in the presence of the Lord. But I'll never forget what he said about what I'm talking about. He said, God said to man, don't miss this. He said to the man, the kind of man that you are now can never come back into my presence. What was God saying? man what you've done keeps you out of my presence. And there was nothing that any of us could do on our own to heal that problem. Are you listening to me? To change it so that once again, but you know why? That's why the Father sent Jesus. He came with the answer. I said he came with the answer that we had no way of achieving, that answer that we could come back into the presence of the Lord. Why did he do it? Pastor mentioned this. He's on our side. I said he's on our side. The psalmist said it this way, if it I could say it. I could say it this way, that it's an awesome thing for God to let us come into his very presence. Why would he do that? Because he's on our side. He loves us. Why? I've been saved for over 50 years and I've tried to figure it out. God, why in the world do you mess with people like us? Oh, come on, somebody. Don't act so sanctified. Why would God even pay attention to us? It's hard to understand. And I believe that is why The Apostle Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That's the way the King James. If I had been asked to help with translating into English when they were putting the King James Bible together, I would have said, boys, I don't know about this word unspeakable. Can we find a better one? And I immediately came to a better one. I would have said, let's use the word indescribable. Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. Who was the gift that was indescribable? Jesus. What makes him indescribable to us is it's because you and I can't figure out why in the world he would love us. Why in the world would he even notice us? But God so loved the world. Explain that to me, somebody. He so loved the world that he sent the greatest gift from heaven that God could have sent. He could have sent an angel, but the angel could not do what we needed done, because every one of us was lost in sin, and we had no hope that we could ever change anything in that regard. We did not change anything. Jesus changed everything when he came to us. But there was a price for him to come to us, and he knew it before he ever came for you and for me. What was that price? He knew that he was going to have to die for you and me and every other. He was going to have to give his life to correct what Adam had used to curse mankind. We had no way of getting back into the presence of God. Are you listening to me? And Jesus knew that that was the will of God, and that was the whole reason that his Father was sending him to this planet. It was for our benefit. God did not. It broke the heart of God that you and I were locked out of the presence of God. And in order for him to change what was wrong with you and me, he knew what he had to do. He sent Jesus, and Jesus knew exactly why he was coming to planet Earth. Because he understood that he was the Lamb of God that was slain from the very foundation of the world. Is anybody listening to me this morning? My God, I've come today to explain to you why the unspeakable gift of God is the greatest, most awesome truth that you and I in the church of the living God. Pastor said that sometimes we come and we worship the Lord without really zeroing in on what we really need to zero in on. And we just say praise the Lord because we're used to it. Let me tell you something. It'll change your life if you will focus clearly in on the reason that Jesus came and allowed us to come into his presence here. But why he came to this planet, it was for you and it was for me. Because he was not willing to let us go to hell. It was not his will. And listen, he came knowing exactly what it was going to cost him. Listen to the word of God. Jesus is saying this to his disciples in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 15 and 18. He is telling his disciples, preparing them. Listen to what he said. He said, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father." Listen. "And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me." Oh, listen, listen. "My Father loves me because I lay down my life. I lay down myself. I lay down my life. The Father loves me because he sent me here and I came willingly knowing that I must lay down my life that I might take it again." Oh, listen to what he said. "No man takes my life from me, but I lay that life down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I've got the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." He's explaining to us why he came. We're almost at Easter. We're almost to that point where we celebrate why Jesus came into this earth and his willingness and his obedience to the Father. Did you hear what he said? "Nobody takes my life. That's why I'm here. I'm going to lay this life down. I'm going to save people." How are you going to do that, Jesus? "I'm going to lay my life down, and in 3 days I'm going to take it up again." Oh, yeah. "Nobody can do anything to me. I'm going to endure what God the Father has commanded me to do." That's a strong word. Did you get it? He said, "This commandment I have received of my Father." A little bit later after that, Jesus said to his disciples, they had eaten the Last Supper. He said, "We're going to go to Gethsemane." He took them out to Gethsemane. It was the worst night of his life here on this earth because he wrestled with what he was commanded to do. Everything Jesus did on this planet, he did as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? And while Jesus was there, his disciples, who were weary and really didn't get what was ready to happen, they went to sleep while he's over there praying. He awakened them, but they couldn't stay awake. Every time he woke them up, Finally, he just said, sleep on. just go ahead and stay asleep, because he knew in moments there were evil men. I said there were evil men. Brother Ron, you shouldn't call them evil. They were priests. Are you kidding me? I said they were evil. And the chief priest was an evil man. They came, the chief priests, the captains of the temple, the elders. Who were these people? They were all religious people. And some people might be ashamed for me to say it the way I'm going to say it. They were wicked, evil people. Are you listening? They came into the garden. Judas had told them, the one that I kiss, that's him. That's the one you're looking for. They went into that garden. After Judas kissed Jesus, Jesus saw him coming and he said, boys, who are you looking for? What are you doing here? Who are you looking for? And they said, we're looking for Jesus. Don't miss this. He stood up straight and tall and he said, I am. Did you get that? I am he. And when Jesus told them that, the Bible said they fell to the ground like dead men. Some people would say, well, why didn't he just step over them? Because he could have, but he was there to obey the command of the Father. Yeah, nobody takes my life, he had told his disciples. And listen to what Jesus said. He said to those who had come to arrest him, he said, they were come to him, let me back up. Luke 22. 52 and 53. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him. He's telling them why they're there. And he says, but ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. Verse 53, he said, when I was daily with you in the temple and you stretched forth no hands against me. Here it is. Listen. He said, but this is your hour. This is your hour and the power of darkness. What's he talking to? He's addressing the devil. This is your hour. I'm not talking about a 60-minute hour. No, it was just a season. And so I would title this, what I'm trying to say to you this morning is that Jesus gave Satan an hour to do what God had planned from all eternities past. Are you listening? Now, it is obvious to any Bible-believing Christian that Jesus knew when he was born, before he was born in Bethlehem, he knew that he was destined to come to this planet. He would be born in Bethlehem, and he knew why he was here. He was here to accomplish the will of his Father and the plan of his Father, and he knew that he was the answer to that plan. He knew it. How do I know that? Because Revelation 13 and verse 8 tells us that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Uh-huh. You see, John the Baptist, remember when Jesus came down and wanted John the Baptist to bury him in baptism? Before Jesus ever got there, John the Baptist looked out and saw him coming, and he started gathering all those people that were there around him, and he said, "Behold." What does that mean? Take a good look. Don't miss this. Behold the Lamb of God. Listen, that takes away. That takes away the sin of the world. Sometimes we who have been saved for many years, we take some of this for granted. Listen to me. Every Jew that was on that riverbank, ready to be baptized by John the Baptist, oh, they knew that lambs were offered for the sins of the people. They knew that. They were part of that old covenant that required the slaying of lambs for their own sins. Come on, somebody. But yet every one of them knew this too, that not one lamb offered in the Old Testament had the power to take sin away. Hello? Not one! Oh, the power that it had was the power to just roll it back for a season. Because it was a constant thing, the offering of those sins. It was rolled back for a season. How do I know this? Listen to Hebrews 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image, can never. The law can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually, it just went on and on and on and on, and not one of them made the comers thereunto, it says, perfect. Not one. But in those sacrifices, there is only a remembrance. That's what God's word said. Just a remembrance again of the sins every single year on the Day of Atonement. They had to go through it again and again and again. Here's why. For it is not possible. I said it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats would be able to take away sin. Oh, my Lord. And I love this. I love this. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, the writer of Hebrews begins to quote what the Lord said. He said, none of this is able to take away sin, what they're doing. There's no blood that they're offering that can take away sin. And then he says this, but a body, Father, a body you have prepared for me. You getting my message this morning? Why we need to be exact. My Lord, we need to be running the aisles and praising God. And we need to be clapping our hands and lying on the floor. Why? Because God gave us such a gift. God prepared him a body. Don't you forget that. He says he takes away the first, that's the old covenant, that he may establish the second, the new covenant. Listen, by the which will, by that new covenant, we are sanctified through the offering. Listen, listen, listen. We are sanctified through the offering of the body. You need to underline that body. Jesus came here in a body. God came to earth. Oh, come on, help me. I said he came to earth in a body that was prepared. God the Father prepared a body for Jesus, knowing that that body was going to be offered. And if that body was offered, then you and I said you and I, lost sinners, my God, that blood that was be shed in that body, we would be sanctified through the offering of the body once and for all. My God, I don't know how in the world you're not saying hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The gift of God. The Lamb of God. The body was the sin offering. The body of Jesus prepared by his Father for him to be offered. That body was the sin offering for every human being on this planet. Can somebody say, thank God? 1 Peter, how did Jesus do it? In that body. Peter said, 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus who his own self bare our sins in his own body. My Lord. Are you getting it? He bare our sins in his own body on the cross, on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. Oh, and then he says it this way, I love it. By his stripes we were healed. What does that mean? We were cured. We were saved. We were made whole. What did Jesus bearing our sins in his own body? Why did he do that, my Lord? What a Savior. A Savior. The Lamb of God. A Savior. A Savior who would use the body. Everybody say the body. The body that he was given to lovingly offer his body. To offer that body to bear our sins. He's the Lamb of God. Those sins of the people were placed upon that. That's exactly what's taking place here with what I'm explaining to you. He was given, lovingly given his body to bear our sins on the cross. Hallelujah. Because of our sins, the Word who was with God and the Word who was God and is God became flesh in a body. He became a body. And he allowed, oh, listen to me, he allowed evil men and the power of darkness to abuse and to crush and to nail that body to a cross. He permitted it. I said he permitted it. Why on earth would he permit it? Because he saw you and he saw me. Oh, he saw us as his creation. He wasn't willing for us to be lost forever. And God knew what the remedy had to be. He called Jesus in. Told him he was sending him to this earth for him to give his life. Nobody took his life. He gave his life. Hallelujah. He laid down that life that he might take it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Under the influence of the powers of darkness, wicked, evil, religious leaders, the priests, the scribes, the elders that I've talked about, and Caiaphas, the evil high priest. Let that sink in a minute. He's the high priest. He's the one that on the Day of Atonement that would put to death the sacrifice, go into the Holy of Holies with that blood and sprinkle the mercy seat. That's the man we're talking about. I call him the evil high priest because the devil took him over. And all of those religious people, they plotted how they would take Jesus by subtlety and deceit and guile, and that they would kill him. But listen to what they said to each other. But we cannot do that on the day of the Passover feast. I wanted to say, you bunch of hypocrites. You're talking about killing the Passover lamb that brought you out of Egypt. And you're worried about that? They're plotting to kill that Passover lamb. They beat the body of Jesus. They spat in his face. They wounded his body with a crown of thorns. You know the story. They beat him on the head and in every other way. It is incredible what evil men did to the God who had come in a body. For them. Are you listening to me? I said it's incredible what man did. But they did what they did because they were completely under the influence of the powers of darkness. Oh, but listen, listen, listen. This is shouting territory. But what they did not know was that the Lord God was in total control. I said he was in total control of everything that was happening. They were totally unaware that the Lord was using them to fulfill his word. I'm telling you, he's going to make everything that happens exalt the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The greatest gift that God ever gave this world. And men are there that day and they're doing their best to destroy that gift. But God the Father is in absolute, and Jesus in absolute total control of everything that is happening. They were not aware, the men that were determined to do this were not aware that the Lord was using them to fulfill his word. Listen to Isaiah in chapter 53, what he wrote about the hour. The hour that was given to these evil men and the powers of darkness. Isaiah wrote this. He saw it before it ever happened. 700 years before it was ever going to happen. Isaiah wrote this. Surely he has borne our griefs. Oh yeah. And he carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Listen, but he was wounded. His body was wounded for our transgressions. His body was bruised because of our iniquities. Evil men wounded and bruised the body of Jesus, totally unaware that Jesus was using them to fulfill his word. Hallelujah. Yeah. Why would I say that? Because I'm telling you, with every wound and every bruise that struck the body of Jesus, he was the Lamb of God, and every wound was taking all the transgressions, healing all the iniquities of man, and giving you and me justification. Are you listening? Yeah, he was justifying us because of the wounds that he was taking in his body. He took all of our sin into his own body, and he gave us all that was in his body. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Yeah, he took everything that was in us that was so sinful and awful, and he took that into his body. And at the same time, I'm telling you, just read the book of Romans and you'll know what I'm talking about. Oh, my Lord. At the same time, he took our sins into his body. Listen, he was taking from his body and putting into us everything that was in him, the holiness of God, the sin. Oh, you're not listening to me. The sinlessness of God. My God, he was giving us everything that we could never have gotten any other way. That which would bring us back into right relationship with God. We lost it all. We lost the right to come into the presence of God when man sinned. And I'm telling you what Jesus did for you and me, justifying us. My Lord, he gave evil men and the power of darkness access to his body. Why? So he could make you and me as holy and righteous and sinless as he is. Can somebody say, thank God, thank God, thank God. The Lamb of God took away our sins. I said he took them away. Hallelujah. I was raised I'm ancient, and I was raised in Pentecostal church back in the day when, my Lord, everything was sin. People say, what do you mean by that? I said, I'm going to tell you. We went to church on Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and had revivals every 2 weeks, it seemed like. Well, what'd you do for fun? I said, we went to church. Because everything else was sin. What do you mean? I said, if it was fun, honey, it was sin. Hallelujah. I've told people, I have cousins and I have friends, some dear friends, that are still of that persuasion. You know what you wear? And it's not so much for the men, it's the women. You know, they still want to live by those rules and whatever. And I love to tell them, can I tell you something? There's nothing innately in me. There's nothing that makes me a holy man. I said, there's nothing that makes me on my own a holy man. The only thing that makes me holy is the holiness of Jesus that he put in me. I'm not a righteous man. On my own, I'm pitiful. The only righteousness, the only holiness, the only sinlessness that is in me is what's there because of Jesus. Oh, what a gift. I said, what a gift he is. Oh, listen, listen, listen. There was a Roman soldier employed to scourge the body of Jesus. To beat, I guess you've picked up on it. The devil was intent on them absolutely destroying the body. That was their intention. They beat the body of Jesus. They scourged him with a horrendous tool of torture that had glass and metal hooks, other sharp items that was embedded in the lashes, and it was designed, totally designed to cause maximum destruction of the back of the person that was being beaten and scourged. Many, many people did not live beyond that. They didn't live long enough for them to put them on a cross. That Roman soldier delivered 39 stripes. 39 blows on the back of Jesus. Commentators have told us that when that scourging was done, the internal organs were being, you could see them, the bones and the internal organs were exposed totally because the body of Jesus was in the process of being totally destroyed. This body that Jesus came to our world with, that God had prepared for him, was being torn about by these evil men and the powers of darkness. But what they could not have known was that God was using these evil men and the powers of darkness to fulfill his word. Oh, my God, what are you talking about, Brother Ron? Isaiah saw what would be happening when Jesus was being beaten by this Roman soldier. It was his hour, but Isaiah told us something that the evil ones were not able to see when the scourging was taking place. Isaiah saw more than the wounds and the blood. The man beating the back of Jesus was totally unaware that he was opening the back of Jesus. Yes, he was, but he was also, he didn't realize what he was doing. He was opening the fountainhead of healing for every disease known to mankind. What I'm telling you is they didn't know that God was using them to fulfill his word. Oh my God. Then they nailed that body to the cross. Evil men came by all afternoon. They nailed him to the cross early in the morning. All afternoon, Jesus was, it's incredible what they did to destroy that body, and it had an effect on him. He was weakened. He's hung on the cross, but he's so weak, he didn't, just holding his head down. Every now and then he would say something, he would lift it up and down it would go, and the people walking by, they laughed at him. They mocked him. They wagged their heads. That's what the Bible said. They're mocking his dying on the cross. And then some of them who were, I'm convinced, were totally, maybe not totally demon-possessed, but they were totally under the influence of the powers of darkness. They laughed at him, and they cried out to him, "You saved others. You can't save yourself." They mocked him. What they didn't know was Jesus was in total control. I said he was in absolute total control, and they didn't have any idea. In fact, I said one time, you know, the devil, he's the father of lies. But he's the one that motivated them to say he saved others, but he can't save himself. If the devil ever did tell the truth, he told it that day. Not that Jesus was not able to save himself. It's not a matter of that he couldn't. It's a matter of he wouldn't. He would not. Oh, my Lord. But they mocked him. They made fun of him. My God. Listen to me. His suffering. During that hour, however long it was, that time period, he gave evil men and the power of darkness, but their hour was almost over. And Jesus, in total and complete control, at that moment he cried. He cried something that this world has never, ever heard before. He cried, he said, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. That literally means he dismissed his spirit. He told him, "Ain't nobody takes my life." He dismissed his spirit. But in that final moment, listen. Final moment of that hour, there was one more wound in his body. To make sure that he was dead, that Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side, and blood and water came forth. He understood that the body was dead, but what he did not know, he had no idea of the significance of what he was doing. By opening up the side of Jesus, he didn't know that God was using him to open up the side of the second Adam. Oh, my Lord. Just as God opened up the first Adam's side to give him a bride, the Apostle Paul, oh, he talks about this. And the day that we will be going to be in the presence of the Lord. Listen, he said that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that it should be holy and without blemish. Can I tell you, at the rapture of the church, the bride of Christ will be united with the bridegroom, and the official wedding ceremony will take place. Listen, Revelation 19 says it this way: "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. His wife has made herself ready." I want to tell you something this morning, church. We are the bride of Christ. Listen to me. We are what came from the side of the Savior. We are the church, the bride of Christ. He is the second Adam. We are the second Eve. You're going to get it about 3:30. Maybe about 6 o'clock tonight. That broken body of Jesus brought everlasting life to you and me. Oh, yeah. Satan's hour was about over, but the story was not over. You know that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came. They got permission. They got possession of the body. Everybody say the body. My Lord, what a body. That body. And they buried it in a new tomb, and it looked like it was over. It looked like everything that they trusted in and believed in, it was going to be the end of everything and everybody. But let me tell you something. God had something indescribable and unbelievable planned that would undo everything. I said it would undo everything that the evil religious men and the powers of darkness, what they had done to his son. What was it? Well, I love Matthew's version of it. End of the Sabbath, it began to dawn on the first day of the week. Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, came to see the sepulcher, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Listen, here's what I love about it. And the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat down on it. Yeah. They said, we know you came looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He's risen as he said. And you know what? When I read that again, Every Easter, I'm reading through that, and all of a sudden, it came to me. You know, I wonder where that evil high priest was that morning. I wonder, after 3 days, and all of a sudden, the tomb is empty. The story comes back. Here's what we saw. They didn't want anybody to believe that. But I said to myself, where in the world were those priests and scribes and elders and the others that morning? They were probably in the back room down there in the temple discussing how in the world could this have happened. When he said, it is finished, how and why in the world was the over in the temple? It started at the top. The veil was torn. The Bible says it was torn from top to bottom. That's significant. It didn't tear from bottom to top. It wasn't man reaching up to God. It was God reaching down to man. Oh, yeah. They said, how did that happen? And when he said that and he dismissed his spirit, why and how did those rocks just begin to explode? How was it that this morning, when word came that he had risen from the dead, they said it wasn't just Jesus who rose from the dead. There were a lot of Old Testament saints. They'd been dead. They'd been dead for hundreds of years. And you're not going to believe this, but I watched out my front window onto the porch, and I watched them coming up onto the porch. They knocked on my door. Did you answer it? Are you kidding? How did that happen? I heard one of them saying, you may not know who I am, but I know who you are. I saw what you did to Jesus over 700 years ago. By the way, my name is Isaiah. It's been over 700 years ago. I watched it. I saw it through the eyes of the Spirit of God. I wrote it all down. Are you listening to me? I saw what you did to him. And by the way, King David's on his way over too. King David, what's he coming for? He's coming to check out. He wants to see who it was that did this horrible thing to his son. My God, are you listening to me? The resurrection of Jesus. You know what? I'm thrilled that he came the first time. And I'm just as thrilled to know that he's coming again. Hallelujah. I know we've been here a long time, but I want to open up the altar for just a few minutes. You see, I've been praying for people who have never met Jesus. I have told you on purpose what he did for you. Why did he do? Why did he come and go through what he went through? Have you ever looked in the mirror? You're looking at the reason. You're looking at the reason. Oh, my God. It was his incredible love that brought us redemption. I know you've probably seen this, but listen to this modern day song, a contemporary song. He's talking to Jesus. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. My God, that's enough truth right there to totally change the world. I was your foe, but your love for me, your enemy, fought for me. Are you listening? If you're here today and you've never given your heart and your life to God, you may think, he doesn't want anybody like me. He doesn't love anybody like me. Brother Ron, you don't know where I've been. You've probably not been anywhere any of us in this building today hasn't been. Deep in sin. Come on, somebody. Your love fought for me. You have been so good, Lord. You've been so good to me. When I felt no worth, when I felt no worth and wasn't worth anything, you paid it all for me. You've been so good. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. That reckless love of God, the writer said, it chases me down. It fights till I'm found. Glory to God. It leaves the 99. Oh, I love this. I love this. I couldn't earn it and I don't deserve it. Still, you gave yourself away. And then I love this part. There's no shadow that you won't light up. There's no mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. Oh, my God. There's no lie that you won't tear down. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is everything you need. I said, Jesus is everything you need. He said, there's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down. You're coming after me. Can I ask you something this morning? I'm not going to take a long time. You've heard enough to already get you saved if you're not saved. Right now, let's just get quiet for a minute. Just for a minute. I want to know, are you here today? And you'd be honest with me and say, Brother Ron, I understood what you preached. And boy, do I need it in my life. Slip your hand up. Maybe you've been saved. Maybe you've given your heart and life to the Lord, but it's been hard for you. There's not anybody who is sitting here today who doesn't understand that. Just slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. God bless you, sir. Somebody else. You need God. Bless you, son. Somebody else, bless you. There's some things that you need to get right with God. We're going to wait just a few more seconds. You say, Brother Ron, please pray for me. There's things I need to get right. with God. I didn't know how much He cared about me. Oh, my Lord. That's why it's indescribable. That's why it's, you can't get it out. It's hard to explain it. But He's for you. I said, God is for you. Bow your head with me, please, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank You for coming into our world, bringing us, Lord, to the place where we once again can come into Your world. Oh, my God, we thank You for opening heaven to us. I pray for those that lifted their hand today, Lord. They heard the truth. They want to receive what that truth brings to them. Do it for them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. My God, I'm going to ask you to stand. We've been here a long time. I'm not going to take a long time. I'm just going to tell you, those of you that raised your hands, you need to come and pray for a few minutes. I want you to come right now. Don't wait on somebody else. You lifted your hand. You need Jesus to touch your life and do something for you that only He can do. Come on, there's others that lifted their hands. My God, my God, my God. Come on, He's there. Waiting for you right now. He'll do it for you just like He did it for me and everybody else in this building. He's on your side. Doesn't matter how bad you've messed up. Jesus is on your side. Praise God. I need some of you guys. Come up here. Come on. Just begin to pray with these who are here. Some of you men. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, guys. Lift your heart up before the Lord. He's here right now. I said He's here right now. He came this morning because He knew you'd be here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love You, Lord. We praise You. Come on. Why don't you, some of you, just slip your hands this direction. And just begin to pray for those who are here. My God, my God, my God, my God. We love You, Lord, this morning. We praise You this morning. We glory in You today, Lord. Hallelujah. Now
As they are continuing to pray, we do want to take an opportunity to sow into Brother Wagers. And I appreciate the basics of the gospel, right? That's where it all starts. Understanding what God did for each and every one of us. And we want to bless Brother Wagers for sowing into us today. And so as they play another song, we're just going to give you an opportunity to give. And so if you'll bring your offering for Brother Wagers forward. And I encourage you just to worship with us as we're continuing to pray. Stay in this atmosphere of worship. Because giving is also worship. Amen? We are blessing what God is doing in our lives. And I encourage you to take this, if nothing else. God did it for you. If you were the only one, Jesus would have done the same thing just for you. He loved us that much. Let's worship. Continue to worship as they play this song.
How many of you have enjoyed the presence of the Lord here this morning? Isn't God so good to us? Thankful for what God is speaking, and found it very interesting that even though this was not the main idea of Brother Wager's message, he referred to the body of Christ a lot, the body. And we've been in the middle of a series about wholeness, and we started out with the body last week. It's a continuation, and just think about this. What Jesus bore in his body was so that our bodies could be sanctified unto him. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful thought, beautiful, beautiful work. Amen. Father, we just thank you for everything that you are accomplishing in us, with us, and through us. We pray a blessing upon this offering, Lord. May it go forth and build your kingdom, add to your kingdom. May many souls come in the harvest of the labor of Brother and Sister Wagers as they work. Lord, we know it's a good ministry and good ground that we sow into, Lord, and we thank you for a great harvest. We thank you for the moment of time that we've got to spend together in the hour. God, we thank you that even when it looked like it was the hour of the enemy, working and doing His will. Really, it was Your will being done by their hands to set us free. May we walk in that freedom and liberty. May we walk in Your Spirit. Let us walk in Your grace. Grace and peace be multiplied unto our lives. Let us, Lord, walk with You closely. May Your face shine upon us, Lord. May Your blessed hand be upon our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You have a wonderful Sunday.
Just be.